Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our Charting the End Time study titled, Jew Hate in the Last Days. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at our website, bbfohio.com, using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our Charting the End Time study titled Jew Hate in the Last Days. This is part one of two.
Deuteronomy 29.
You can see how they take it out of context. Don't even understand
what they're reading. Let's see. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. That was true when Moses wrote that.
Yeah.
He's brought them back twice since then.
It's not him saying, oh, it's not your land anymore. He just took them out for a while.
And that's what we're going to talk about, the deal of the century. We talked about it a little bit Sunday, but I didn't get into any specifics about the deal itself. And I just think it's the mistake of the century if they try to go through with it. I wonder if that coronavirus couldn't be a bit of a response to America once again trying to divide the land of Israel. And I was going to reference a book I'll mention, because it's going to affect our economy if it continues to blow up. This trade deal will collapse to a great extent that was just signed with China. But this is what the vision is. The blotches there are where they want to set up a Palestinian state, a two-state solution. That's pretty convoluted there, isn't it? What I like to refer to it as gangrene.
It looks like it.
And
that's a lot of land.
Yeah. And God says not only that, but this section of it's still in Egypt, the section that's still Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon, all that belongs to Israel too, according to God. So, I said it Sunday, I'll say it again. We love our president, we pray for him, but when he's wrong, he's wrong, and on this, he's wrong. So we pray for him to wake up to that fact. This would be the biggest mistake of his presidency. Even bigger than hiring John Bolton. That's a joke. But so giving up land when Israel is already smaller than New Jersey? I mean, think about that. Have you ever seen this? I had to circle Israel so you could see it. That's not even the whole world. That's just... Yeah, in the dark west, dark blue... Muslim nations. The dark blue is 90 to 100% population Muslim. And as the blue gets lighter, it drops, you know, to less Muslim population. They're totally surrounded by Muslim populations. And you can barely see it. And if I hadn't circled it, some of you wouldn't know exactly where you're looking because it's so small.
My friend said that, you know, you're talking about New Jersey. He said, you know, it used to be known as the Garden State. Now it's known as
Mm-hmm. This that I'm about to show you is the deal of the millennium. Genesis 15:18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land. Unto thy seed, whose? Abraham's. And he says it's from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And then in Deuteronomy 11:24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness of and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. In other words, that's how big Israel is going to be when God has His final word. And there's, let me tell you, there's some who take it even a little further up into Turkey. And some take it up to the northern part of Turkey, according to their interpretation. I've read it, and from what I can see, I think this is the best representation of it. And as I said Sunday during our current events update, that the Bible says to him and his seed, to Abraham and his seed. So until Abraham comes back with Jesus, Revelation 19, and lands on that property and has ownership of it, then it still hasn't been fully fulfilled. So keep calm and stand with Israel. The book on the left we had in the library, I don't know if our copy's checked out or not, but get a copy of that, excuse me, as America has done to Israel. The result, massive national disasters. And that's why I talked about the coronavirus possibly being tied to that. You read that book, it goes beyond the idea of just coincidence. But until you read that book, you may say, well, I don't know, because that's what I said. And I got my hands on that book, and I'm like, wow.
Has that been updated at all recently?
Yeah, I don't know if it's been updated this year or anything, but it was updated a couple years ago. And that's by John P. McTernan. Johnny?
I was going to say, might be a good, when you share that map with the, with how much the land there is theirs, it might be good to see a comparative map on just how much they had in the past.
They haven't had much more than what is national Israel today, except for it went across the Jordan.
It might be a good, another comparison.
And it went down into the Negev more, I think. But yeah, Charlie.
What was your reference in Genesis for the? I don't know. I didn't get that.
Genesis 15:18.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But yeah, they've never had anywhere near the full extent of the land, and I'll just throw this out there, and we'll have to get into our Bible study, but if you go to Joshua, and you'll see that it ends in Joshua saying there's nothing that God promised that he didn't do. But then you start in Judges, and you see that that's not the problem. The problem is Israel didn't do their part. Israel didn't take all the land they should have, and they didn't kick all the Canaanites out, which they were commanded to do. So still, it hasn't been fully fulfilled. I had somebody call me up one time and start a conversation. It went fine for a few minutes, and then he brought up Israel. And then he said, so the only problem I have with what you teach is what you say about Israel. And I said, well, why is that? And he says, well, in Joshua it ends, they're telling you that God's already done what he promised. I said, yeah, but did you read Judges? What do you mean? I said, let's read it. I opened up Judges 1 and 2, and it's right there that God has done what he promised, but he didn't fulfill the entire promise to Abraham because he couldn't. And that's what is explained in Judges. So, the bottom line, though, is this deal of the century is bad stuff. Keep praying for the president. But I just pray, Lord, if this is part of the whole end time thing, let's get it going. All right, so I want to open with a word of prayer before we get in our Bible study. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this book. We thank you for the time you give us, the opportunities you give us, the ability to read, to understand, and that your word changes our hearts. When we fail, it's because we fail to fully trust your word. And so we ask you, Lord, to help us, guide us, teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we said, Jew hate in the last days is our study tonight. Jesus told us that hatred of the Jews would be a sign of the end times. So let's look at it in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, beginning of verse 4. And the main reason we do these studies, every so often I'll do a study related to this subject, the land and Israel and all that, is because of what Jesus says here in verse 4. He says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you." And people are being deceived. And part of the apostasy of the end times is to reject the true teaching of dispensations, the imminent rapture, the difference between Israel and the church, and so forth. And so he says, beginning in verse 5, if you read the odd verses with me. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that gave suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." God's people say amen.
Amen.
Jew hate. It's nothing new. Let's look at the Old Testament examples just real quick. Pharaoh, you remember when he was killing all the boy babies? What happens when you kill all the boy babies? You can't reproduce. It takes a male and a female. And so he was trying to simply deplete their population at that time. But Satan's intent was to destroy. Also, you have Haman's Holocaust attempt. What book is that in the Bible?
Esther.
Esther, yeah. And if you remember, he was going to kill all the Jews in the Persian Empire, which would have been all the Jews. Jezebel, you remember her genocidal policies? She was killing off anybody, basically, who served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and she tried to kill off all the prophets. And there's a... Now I'm showing my memory. It starts with an H. The man who hid 100 of them, right? And Elijah thought he was all by himself, and turned out he wasn't alone. And then in Daniel, remember the anti-Jew laws? And
Obadiah.
Oh, it's Obadiah? I thought it was an H. Okay. The Chaldeans are in Daniel 8, you'll see that, where they passed laws saying anybody who prayed to anyone other than Nebuchadnezzar was, you know.
They were out to get him.
Yeah. And they knew Daniel was going to pray. That's why we sing the song. Daniel prayed. But all those are attempts to keep Jesus from being born. That's what all of it is. And even today, if Jesus comes back and there's not an Israel in the land, Satan would have made God a liar. So every time Satan's trying to wipe out these Jews, it's to keep God from fulfilling his promises and his plan. And specifically in those examples, why did he do it? He was attempting to wipe out the nation that would produce Jesus. In Revelation 12, you remember? The woman is Israel. And she had a man-child. And the dragon was there to devour the man-child as soon as he was born. That's what he's been doing since. That's why Cain killed Abel. I mean, it goes all the way from Cain and Abel. There's a red blood line, it's been called, goes through the entire Old Testament and doesn't stop there. It was also what Satan moved Herod to do when he killed the babies in Bethlehem, two and under. And just take note of the fact that Jesus is king of the who?
Jews.
King of the Jews. I said this Sunday, and Stephen and a couple other people just thought it was crazy, but I've gotten contact by people who criticized me for being a false teacher because they say Jesus was not a Jew. The pit of hell. But it's an Arian teaching. The Germans, when they fell under what they called positive Christianity, we have a study on that online. And the Germans fell under positive Christianity, and they taught that Jesus was an Arian, and that Mary was impregnated by a German soldier, and on the blasphemous satanic heresy goes. So, we saw that at Jesus' birth, Matthew 2:2, saying, "Where is he that is born, what?
King of the Jews.
King of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And then we saw it at his death. Pontius Pilate had this accusation written. It says, "And set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Amen. And I always think of Pontius Pilate when I see those people who post things on social media in all caps. You see that? You ever seen people like that? They say it, sometimes they say it's because they have bad vision. I don't know how all caps helps, but it reminds me of what Pontius Pilate did. All caps. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews," Matthew 27:37. But Satan wants to destroy the Jew and their king. That's what this is all about. All this Jew hate that you hear from everybody from Al Sharpton to Jesse Jackson to the black Hebrew Israelites to the Aryans and the neo-Nazis and you name it, all the Palestinians and all true Muslims hate the Jews. The reason this deal of century is going to fail right now is because the Palestinians will never be satisfied with a two-state solution. They want a one-state solution, and they want it to be called Palestine, and they want the Jews driven out. So that's the spirit of Satan, and he wants to destroy the Jew and their king. Let's look at that passage in Revelation 12. And we have it online, the full verse-by-verse study of Revelation 12. But for our purposes, we're going to start there in verse 3. Revelation chapter 12. I'll start in verse 3 while you're turning there. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon." I have people, "That's China." I'm not kidding you. Yeah, I bet you could. But that's Satan, the old dragon. And it says, "Having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads." We're not going to get into that. It's in our study of Revelation 12. But it continues. Read the even number with me. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The woman's who?
Israel.
The child is who?
Jesus.
Verse 5 says, and she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Thank you, God. And her child was caught up unto God. That's Acts 1, the ascension. And to his throne. Read verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. I'll save you the math. That's 3.5 years. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And obviously Michael's not trying to beat China. And the dragon fought and his angels, read 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So the stage is being set for this. Satan hates the child, Jesus, but he hates the woman. And he wants to kill Israel. He wants to destroy that nation. And he thinks he's succeeding. Just like he thought he was succeeding when he had Jesus nailed to the cross, he thinks he's succeeding in Israel right now because 80% of the population claim to be either atheist or agnostic. And of the other 20, I'm talking about the Jewish population. And of the 20% other Jews, only 1 or 2% have received Jesus Christ as their Messiah. So Satan thinks he's winning. He thinks he's going to destroy Israel. And with that, let's get back to the words of Jesus there in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 again. And just look at verse 9 again. Excuse me. In verse 9, it says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Who's the you there? Jews who believe in Jesus in this context. And shall kill you, Jews that believe in Jesus. Ye shall be hated of all nations for who? For what? For Jesus' name's sake. This would include, obviously, the 144,000, the 12,000 from all 12 tribes. They're going to have a whole lot of Gentile converts, but I believe they're going to have a whole lot of Jewish converts as well. So this is about Jewish believers in Jesus during the Great Tribulation or Daniel's 70th week. So we should expect that the world is going to be at fever pitch anti-Semitism at the time of the rapture and thereafter. Verse 15, look at that. It says, When ye, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Now, I don't know why some guys act like this is real hard to understand, and I'm sorry, I can't see it that way. I think it's clear. I believe the abomination of desolation is he. It's the Antichrist standing in the holy place. That's an abomination. That is the abomination that makes desolate. And who was Daniel speaking to when he wrote what's in Daniel?
The Jews.
When ye therefore shall see, a bunch of Gentiles wouldn't have any idea what he's talking about. He's talking to the Jews. And so Jesus is speaking to the Jews, and this is Daniel's prophecy to the Jews about their temple in Jerusalem at the end times. And so this, and again, the next verse, verse 16, it says, then let them which be in where? Judea. That's what God calls the land that we call Israel. And they'll call it Palestine. It's Judea. The Romans changed the name from Judea to Palestine or Palestina as an act of disrespect to the Jews. And Palestina comes from Philistines. No, I'm good, thanks. So this is all, only those in Judea are told to flee to the mountains, which we believe is Petra. Man, how many of you have seen a good documentary or action? How many of you, has anybody here visited Petra? Okay. Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I think Mike Kaler, of course we met Noah Hutchings who gives tours there. But I mean, as far as personal friends and everything, Michael Kaler might be the only person we know personally who's been there. But now how many of you have seen The Next Best Thing, which is a good documentary on it, or good study on it or something? You haven't? Well, you need to schedule a movie night with the Allball family not quite, but there's probably some good shots in there. But I'm trying to think, though. But we have the one where Noah Hutchings gives the tour, so it was just enjoyable to watch him. You know, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Amen. Is he talking the whole time?
Oh, tell her she'd love him if she met him in person. Yeah, she's grown up since then. We love Olivia. But so who lived in Judea when Jesus said this? Jews. Now go to verse 20. You see, we're just kind of doing an overview or a survey of Matthew 24 here. This says in verse 20, but pray ye that your flight, talking to the Jews obviously, be not in the winter. Yes, there is winter in Israel, and it can get really cold. But neither on the what?
Sabbath.
Now, other than the fact there are people who pretend to keep the Sabbath, like our Seventh-day Adventist friends, the people who keep Sabbath are the Jews. That's who he's talking to over and over as you read Matthew 24. You'll have people try to say he's talking to the church. And if anybody would honestly read Matthew 24, they can see he's not talking to any church, any churches, the church, nothing like that. Not the body of Christ, nothing like that. He's talking to Jews. And he's saying that they pray their flight be not on the Sabbath day. That's how serious they take the Sabbath. The Antichrist comes after you on the Sabbath day, you just got to, oh well. Actually, there is an argument to be made that would just be a very detrimental thing because of the way the Sabbath is. Everybody's resting and all that. It would be hard for them to get away. But God would forgive them for getting away. And I believe that's the case because Jesus talked about how the Sabbath was made for man and man not the Sabbath and so forth. And he honored Rahab and all that. We could go on and on about that. But with that context, we again look in, then shall they deliver you, the Jews, up to be afflicted and shall kill you. These are Jesus believing Jews. And ye shall what?
Be hated
of all nations. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we're almost there. We are almost there. There's always been pockets of anti-Semitism and, of course, what Russia did and Germany did. But it's infecting places where the Jews once felt safe. Places in South America. Well, now United States of America. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they almost always vote against the Jews in Israel over land issues. And I know this is the name of an organization, but it's really true. Jews for Jesus will be hated by all nations. That's when it's no longer just an organization, it's just a fact. Jews for Jesus, those Jews who accept Jesus as their Messiah, will be hated by all nations. And that explains constant stories like this. I'm just giving you a few examples, but.